she continued. He wants to set the date, and that's something else I want to talk to Mama and Daddy about. They were so pleased when Henry and I got engaged. And then...
Transitions. A journey.
He played his fingers in the air as he spoke, watched her watch them dance. Nothing more.
Yes, I know that now. It's just, I want to share this with Marcus and with Henry.
But you haven't.
No, I promised you, and my father. You said I'd know when it was time, and I feel it is. I hate not being honest with the people I love, even for people I love. If Henry and I set the date tonight, that's a kind of journey too, isn't it? Marriage.
And do you feel ready for that journey?
I do. Coming here, all I've learned, it's shown me there aren't any ends, just other paths. Before I came to you, everything seemed so dark, so final. And now...
She beamed at him, her eyes wide and bright and just going glassy.
I can never repay you for all you've given me.
It's my gift to give. Regrettably, at a price.
Oh, of course.
She laughed. Giddy, yes, giddy, primed by his tea party. Opening her bag, she took out a thick red envelope. Always red for Ms. Fitzwilliams. With cash, he only took cash, in the amount of $9,999 sealed inside. He'd told her red protected the offering, and nine was a number of power. In truth, red was his current favorite color, though it was about to be supplanted by purple, and he found all those nines amusing. Darlene set it, as she'd been instructed, on the silver tray on the tea table. And the tokens, he prompted. He wouldn't touch or count the money. The lovely Ms. March would see to all that. But when the biddable girl took two red pouches from her bag, Bright's fingers itched. These he took, these he touched, these he stroked. The desk clock was old, heavy crystal, small enough to fit in the palm of his hand. Its monetary value, Bright estimated in the low thousands, but it was worth so much more to him. He could feel Gareth Fitzwilliam's energy shimmering on it, and his father's before him, and yes, even generations back. So many hands touching, so many eyes marking time. He opened the second pouch, took out the slim, antique lady's watch. A tiny diamond butterfly perched above the 12, and pretty diamond chips circled the face. Yes, Bria Fitzwilliams had worn it often, choosing it in lieu of more stylish and practical wrist units, clasping it on, thinking of her own mother, her mother's mother, and back 5 generations. Time marked again, birth to death, death to birth, and round and round.
You chose well.
They're favorites.
Strong energy. Strong connections. Are you ready?
He slipped each pouch in a pocket so he could take her hand, lead her from the room. He could feel the vibrations. Excitement? Fear? Wasn't it all too delicious?
He led her upstairs he liked for their zigzagging climb, down a corridor he enjoyed as the paint and wainscoting he'd designed gave it the illusion of a slant. The girl weaved like a drunk, so he had to stifle a quick giggle. He took her into what he called the passage room, where lights glowed blue. She took her seat, a good girl, in the high-backed armchair on the raised platform. The height would keep their eyes level, an essential element to what came next.
Breathe deep, he told her, as a blue mist swirled around the chair. Slow and deep. Hear my voice.
Behind him, a white spiral formed on the wall,